वेणुगीत
फर्स्ट वर्स
श्रीशुक उवाच इत्थं शरत्स्वच्छजलं पद्माकरसुगन्धिना न्यविशद्वायुना वातं सगो गोपालकोच्युतः इत्थं शरद स्वच्छ जलम सो इन द शरद सीजन द जलम बिकेम स्वच्छ सेम थिंग प्रविष्ट कर्णरंध्रेण थिंग कैन यू कम दिस फिल दिस स्पेस आई एम फेसिंग दिस एंड एंड दैट प्लेस इज एम्प्टी कम लिटिल क्लोजर दैट विल बी इजी फॉर अस दिस गैप्स यू कैन फिल सो या पद्माकर सुगंधिना So these waters are very transparent, swachha, and also there are fragrances of lotus flowers, right? Spadmakara sugandhina, nyavishad vayuna vatam, and that sugandha is there. When a cool breeze comes, that breeze will carry that sugandha to different places. So it is accompanied by cool breezes. And beautiful fragrance from all these wonderful lotuses and transparent clear lakes. That is the scene of Vrindavan. Right? Then, sa go gopalako achyutaha. Achyuta went with all the gopalakas to all these beautiful lakes. Right? Into the forest. So we have transparent lake, cool breezes, and fragrant lotuses, and Gopala, cows and cowherd boys. With that Krishna is there. This is a perfect description of this verse, depiction of this verse, that image. Next verse. Actually this, as we discussed yesterday, first Sukadeva Goswami describes the season, monsoon season. Then he describes the activities of Krishna in that monsoon season. Then he describes autumn season. Then he describes the pastimes of Krishna in autumn season. And the best part of autumn season is Krishna's playing flute, Sharat season. So Krishna plays flute in some special raga called Malleswari. So the best part of it is Krishna's playing flute and Sukadeva Goswami is preserving that to the end. So when sweet is served in a feast, you preserve it to the end. At the end you can eat it. That's how you can conclude your meal. Right? I can eat in the middle also, but generally it is done like that. So, Krishna is playing this flute in Sharat season. That is described here at the end of the description of autumn season. So, here Vyasadeva established the tattva very clearly in the first 9 cantos and now in the 10th canto he is predominantly describing the rasa part so which is very confidential. Tattva is also confidential but there are gradations. There is confidential, more confidential, most confidential. Right? So accordingly one cannot directly enter into all the leelas of Vrindavan that you see on the dome. Right? First the 12 cantos on that Garbhagriha first layer. Right? Then you come inside and then see all these leelas. See that if you start with this, then we will not be able to digest it. Oh, one man and 8 gopis there, what's happening? So that will be the question. Right? And that boy is running naked and then the mother is catching. Is he God? That kind of question might come. Some of the expansions of his expansions are doing so many wonderful activities that is described in the first 9 cantos. After reading that, the source of all those expansions is running away in fear from Mother Yashoda, then you will understand, oh, he's God. Right? Otherwise, you will take him cheaply. Seeing the simplicity of that activity. Right? So, Sukadeva Goswami is revealing all these Vrindavan pastimes in the 10th canto. And on top of it, after taking us through 20 chapters of some Sakya pastimes, Vatsalya pastimes, etc., in the 21st chapter, he is revealing some Madhurya pastimes. So far, he has not described so much of Madhurya. When Krishna was dancing on the Kaliya, there was some kind of description that gopis also were like kind of glancing. At that time, they were in Purvaraga, right? So they're like, their conjugal feelings are budding because they were small girls. So they were like just budding, Purvaraga. So what happens post this, you know, autumn and all, that is Puraraga. Earlier it was Purvaraga, this is Puraraga. So it is like more intense feelings of conjugal attraction will manifest in all these gopis. So it will begin here. They are thinking about Krishna. When Krishna went to the forest, how he is playing flute, 21st chapter. Then 22nd chapter, Krishna will come knowing their heart's desire that they all are wanting to have Krishna as their husband. Krishna will come and steal their garments. That is described in the 22nd chapter. Right? And next Govardhan episode is there. In that there is 1 week continuous exchange of this conjugal emotions through glances that happens between Krishna and all the gopis. That is described. So that is Govardhan episode. That is 24, 25. Then 26 is also like an annexure for Govardhan episode. Then from 29 onwards we will have Rasapanchadhyay. Right? Then after Rasapanchadhyay again, there is another Gita called Yugala Gita. This is Venu Gita. In the middle of Rasapanchadhyay, we will have Gopi Gita. Post Rasapanchadhyay, we will have Yugala Gita. Then there will be Viraha Gita when Krishna was leaving Vrindavan. Then there will be Bhramara Gita when Krishna sends a message to the gopis through Uddhava. They are all Gita Panchakam. They are all the Gitas described in Bhagavatam. So all these Gitas we can read after reading Bhagavad Gita. Right? So before reading Bhagavad Gita, if you enter into Gopi Gita, Venu Gita, Viraha Gita, Yugala Gita, especially Bhramara Gita. Bhramara Gita is more esoteric than Rasapanchadhyay also. That is directly Srimati Radharani speaking. So these are all quite esoteric. And Venu Gita is like mildest possible. That's why I'm speaking this. All the remaining Gitas, Radhika Vallapuru will speak. So now, Gopi Gita, Yugala Gita, sorry, Venu Gita we'll discuss. So, there are three types of confidential pastimes of incarnations. So, Purusha avataras are definitely confidential avataras of Krishna. And more confidential than that are all these Leela avataras, right? Other avataras, Matsya, Kurma, etc. And most confidential are Krishna's Leelas. And even more confidential amongst all the Krishna's Leelas are his Vrindavan Leelas. And more confidential amongst his Vrindavan Leelas are his Leelas with the gopis, right? Now, you see, where are we entering? We are entering the most confidential aspects of Krishna's pastime now. Right, that is his interactions with the gopis. In this, interaction doesn't happen between gopis and Krishna in this chapter. Only their remembrance will happen. Right? So, Chakravarti Pada writes in this first verse, purport, that although staying back in the village, not in the forest, gopis relate that they are seeing Krishna through their eyes. How? Their hearts have eyes. Through the transcendental eyes of their hearts, they are witnessing the activities of Krishna in the forest. Right? This entire chapter is their remembrance of Krishna's activities in the forest, what all things he is doing. Right? So Sukadeva Goswami first describes Krishna's entrance into the forest before describing Krishna's flute song, that is Venu Gita. Now Krishna plays flute, that is in second verse. Kusumita vana raji sushmi bhranga dvija kula gushta sarasarin mari mahidram madhupatir avagahya charayanga saha pashupala balas chakuja venum.
The lakes, rivers and hills of Vrindavan resounded with the sounds of maddened bees and flocks of birds moving about the flowering trees. In the company of the cowherd boys and Balram, Madhupati Shri Krishna entered that forest, and while herding the cows he began to vibrate his flute.
Kusumita Vanaraji Bhrunga. So Sushmi Bhrunga. So Kusumita Vanaraji means all these Vanaraji groups of trees are there. They are Kusumita. Kusuma means flowers. Kusumita means flowering. All the plants and trees of Vrindavan are flowering just in the Sarat season. Right? So Sushmi Bhrunga. Bhrunga means bees. They became maddened by it. They became intoxicated. Right? They became pagal ho gaya. Because of that Kusumita. Then Dvija. Dvija means birds. Dvija is definitely twice born. So Dvija can also mean one who has two wings. So Dvija is birds. Dvija Kula. Kula means flocks. Right? So Dvija Kula Ghushta Sarah Sarit Mahidram. So this Mahidram, this entire hilly area of Vrindavan, so that is being resounded by all the beautiful chirping of so many birds. Right? So one is flowering trees and maddened bees, and beautiful ambience of mountains and rivers, etc., and flowers and birds that are chirping in that ambience. Right? So in that context, what's happening? Madhupatir avagahya charayam gaha. So avagahya means entering. Who entered? Madhupati entered. So Madhupati entered the this kind of atmosphere, right, where bees are nicely humming and birds are nicely chirping and flowers are nicely flowering, right? Trees are flowering. So in that Madhupati entered. Why he is called Madhupati? Jiva Goswami says, so Gopas were called the followers of Madhu because their ancestor is Madhu from the Yadu dynasty, right? So they were members of Yadu dynasty, and Krishna is also called Madhupati because he is the lord of all these Gopas. So Gopas are descending from Madhu, and Krishna is Madhupati because he is the lord of that Madhu dynasty, like that. That is why he can be called Madhu. Another reason why Krishna is called Madhu. So Madhupati can refer to the spring season. So this Madhu is considered the king of all seasons. So this Sikh, what is that, Sarat season can also be called Madhupati. So when the Lord of Spring enters the forest, then the autumn forest becomes even more beautiful. And Madhupati can also refer to this, the season itself can be called Madhu. And Lord Krishna is the Lord of that season. In that sense, he can be called Madhupati. So Madhupati can refer to Lord of Madhu dynasty. Madhupati can refer to the Lord of Spring, who is the king of all seasons, right? These are the different explanations given for the word Madhupati. So this is month of Madhu, Madhumasa. So Madhupati avagahya charayam gaha. So he entered this forest to graze the cows, to take the cows for grazing. How he entered? Saha pashupala balas chakuja venum. Saha pashupala, all the pashupala, cowherd boys are there. Then balas chakuja venum, and while entering he is vibrating venum. Saha pashupala, cowherd boys are there. Bala, Balram is also there. Chakuja venum, he is playing flute. That is how Krishna entered this Vrindavan forest. Right? So when Krishna is entering this Vrindavan forest, he was leaving the forest, leaving from the village and entering the forest, and all the gopis were watching him. Right? They were feeling separation as Krishna was just moving ahead. When Krishna is first elderly gopis, all the Vatsalya gopis, so all the gopas get quite excited. Right? Sometimes in the middle of the night they would get up and then go to Krishna's house and then bang the door and then say, come, we'll go for grazing. Go to the pasturing grounds. Let's take our calves. Then Yashoda Mai would chastise them. In the middle of the night, how will you go now? Right? You go and sleep. And let him also sleep. Let us also sleep. Like that she would chastise them and then send them away. So gopas are waiting throughout the night for sunrise so that they can accompany Krishna and go into the forest. And gopis are waiting throughout the day so that they can see Krishna coming back from the pasturing grounds. Right? So this is the waiting of gopas and gopis. But gopas are more in the association of Krishna because throughout the day they can play with Krishna. But gopis, their association with Krishna is very meager. That's why they are the topmost devotees. So the feelings of separation are the topmost emotions that can appear in the heart of a devotee. Earlier also we have discussed, there is no syllabus for decide syllabus or whatever course that can certify that you are in love with Krishna. So one is in love with Krishna to the extent he feels separation from Krishna. So love means separation. If one has the feelings of separation, he is actually loving that person. In the 14th chapter of the first canto, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked so many speculative questions to Arjuna. Why he is asking so many questions? Can't he understand that Krishna disappeared? Right? So our Yudhishthira Maharaj is trying to find hundreds of reasons why Arjuna could be morose. Although he can clearly make out with his sharp intelligence that Krishna disappeared, that's why Arjuna is morose. Right? Krishna disappeared, that's why Arjuna became morose. And Narada Muni gave a hint to Yudhishthira Maharaj in the previous chapter. Second, Yudhishthira Maharaj was observing so many dangerous omens in this atmosphere. Third, he is Dharmaraj, he has such sharp intelligence, he can himself make out with all this. There is enough evidence. On top of it, if he sees Arjuna's dejected face, that should be a confirmation for him that Krishna disappeared. But still he asked so many questions. Oh, did you do this? Did you do that? Is this the reason of your dejection? Is that the reason of your rejection? Like that, he gives hundreds of reasons. Right? Tens of reasons. At the last verse of the chapter, he says, oh, did Krishna depart? That's why you are feeling morose like this? That's why you are seen dejected? He questioned like that. Why? What does that show? Although Yudhishthira Maharaj's intelligence could feel that Krishna disappeared, his heart could not accept it. His heart could not accept that fact that Krishna disappears from this world. Why? Because he is unable to bear the thought of separation from Krishna. Krishna disappeared from this planet means what? Yudhishthira Maharaj is thinking that he is separated from Krishna. That is the main reason. Right? So that made him very morose. For example, you gave your favorite new phone. Sridharna Mahaprabhu gave his favorite dear phone to, say, Prananath Krishna Prabhu, his partner, doctor partner. And this, it should not happen, but just for argument's sake or to make a point, we will say, he dropped in our monsoon in Yamuna. Prananath Krishna Prabhu dropped his mobile in Yamuna. Okay? And it's totally gone, corrupted. It's like it's not working at all. So, Yaduvar Prabhu came and gave the message. Your phone fell into Yamuna. It's not working anymore. Now, Sridhar Nimai Prabhu would be anticipating, right? That, oh, I think that much damage could not have happened to my phone, right? It's maybe repairable, right? It fell means, okay. It fell intact, maybe it was not dismantled and then small parts, it didn't break into pieces. So like that he would expect, right, from ashram till he reaches Yamuna to see the condition of the phone, there is some hope inside. Oh, this should not have happened. Maybe I can repair that phone. Within one day I will get back the phone functioning nicely. So maybe he must be anticipating, depending on how attached is he to the phone, right? Similarly, how attached is Yudhishthira Maharaj towards Krishna? Although his intelligence could feel that Krishna disappeared, he is unable to accept that fact, and then he is saying, oh, maybe this must have happened, that must have happened, this may not be the reason, like that, he is asking so many questions. So till he reaches Yamuna and sees the condition of the phone, it has broken into 100 pieces and it is of no use, he cannot accept that fact. He must be having some hope that phone will work again. Right? Maybe temple may not sanction a smartphone. They may give a normal dabba phone. Right? He may be thinking like that. Maybe they will not give Samsung. They may give MI. He may not like that. So because is attached to the phone. Similarly, depending on how much is your attachment, that much you will feel separation. Now coming back to this, we went somewhere. So all these gopis were feeling tremendous amount of separation from Krishna, right? So that feeling of separation indicates the extent of love for that person. And those feelings of separation are awarded to a devotee who is topmost. A devotee on the topmost platform can have that feelings of separation. Because gopis are the topmost devotees, they are awarded that feelings of separation. Although when Krishna, you know, dances on the hoods of Kali and then comes out successful, right, harmless, all the gopas and all the elderly gopis and then cows, they just came forward to Krishna and then embraced Krishna, kissed Krishna, they did so many things. But all the younger gopis, because of culture, they cannot come forward to Krishna and then embrace him, right? They cannot do it. Although Krishna comes out successful after killing a demon, gopis cannot express their emotions. So they have to, because of the culture and tradition and the society, they have to suppress their emotions perpetually every day. Although there is internally there is a surge of emotions that are, you know, flowing towards Krishna, still they have to capture them and then keep them hidden, right? So because they are constantly undergoing this kind of stress and pressure, right, suppressing their emotions, unable to express their emotions, their love for Krishna is intensified, their desire to meet Krishna is intensified. That's why they are the topmost devotees. They are constantly, perpetually in separation. How much they love Krishna, because within an eye blink also they feel separation from Krishna, that much they love Krishna, right? So those people are not given a chance to meet Krishna. That's why Krishna gave so many moral instructions and told them, you go back to home. They were not willing to go. You called in the middle of the night, Patisutanvayat, Bhratru Bandhavat, Ativilanghyate, Achyutagata. We have left all my relatives and everything and then came to you in the middle of the night and you are saying, go back. What is this? We will not go back. Finally, we were able to meet you. So far, we never got an opportunity to meet you only. Now we will not leave you. Then Krishna has to extend that one night into Brahmaji's night and then dance with them. Like that. That is the extent of gopis' separation. Now, how much they are absorbed in the thought of Krishna is seen in this chapter. Right? So, Anandamrita Champu says that while ambling along the pathway, Krishna left the wonderful marks of his lotus feet. Right? What is that? Gold, then lotus, then conch, thunderbolt. These are various auspicious symbols on the feet of Krishna. So, Krishna will imprint all these lotus footmarks on the surface of Mother Earth, right? So holding the flute to his leaf-like lips, Krishna played a slow raga called Mallavasari, right? Mallavasri. Mallavasri is the name of the raga that he was playing. We don't know much. We can just know the name only. Any flute player here? No, no? So Chakuja Venam. Krishna is skillfully playing, right? And how skillfully Krishna plays, when you play flute, it has to blend with the whatever singing, the song. For example, somebody is singing and somebody is playing flute. Ye to dusra raga play kar rahe, dusra ga rahe. There is no blend there. So Krishna, now who is singing? Nobody is singing there. Only the birds are chirping. Okay, only the bees are humming. Only the waterfalls and the river, you know, ripples, they are making some sound. Only the atmosphere is speaking. Atmosphere is singing. So nobody is singing there. But Krishna played flute in such a way that his flute sound very nicely and smoothly blends with the birds chirping and all the sounds that this nature is producing. Right? So Krishna very nicely blended it. When there is a complete harmony between the singers and the musical instruments, it's very pleasing to the ear. So now Krishna is playing flute, blending that sound with all these nature sounds, birds chirping. So that created a very wonderful harmony, very pleasing to hear. So only Krishna is playing flute, not Balaramji and other gopas, right? Saha Pashupala Balas. He is along with the Pashupala and Balaram, but they are not playing flute. Krishna is doing Chakuja Venam. Now let's see what the gopis are thinking. That is mentioned in the third verse. Tadvrajastriya ashrutya venugitam smarodayam kaschit paroksham krishnasya svasakhibhyo nvavarnayan.
When the young ladies in the cowherd village of Vraj heard the song of Krishna's flute, which arouses the influence of Cupid, some of them privately began describing Krishna's qualities to their intimate friends.
So Krishna was going, and gopis observed also how Krishna is going, and Krishna started playing flute. Now the gopis gathered together and started discussing. What happened there? Tad vrajastriyaha ashrutya. Ashrutya means they heard. So Krishna is playing flute in the forest, and all the gopis heard that song of the flute. Venu Geetam, that Venu Geeta. Venu Geeta is nothing but the song of the flute of Krishna. Smarodayam, Smara means Cupid. Smara Udayam, the Cupid arose in their heart. Right? So the Uddipan, the impetus for conjugal feelings arose in their heart. So that is through the flute. Kachit paroksham krishnasya. Right? Paroksham means privately they met with each other. They met with the other gopis. And krishnasya swasakhi bhyo anvavarnayan. So swasakhi, their sakhis, their other girlfriends, they assembled with them and then started discussing about how Krishna is playing flute very wonderfully. How that is troubling them. So all these beautiful verses that we are going to discuss today are spoken by different gopis. Right? One gopi describes about how Krishna is attracting the deer. Another gopi will describe about how Krishna is attracting the cows, how Krishna is dealing with the river. So all these different gopis discussed. Okay. Next. That is the third verse. So they were meeting privately. Harivamsa says, the gopis then had a full experience of Krishna's spurti. This occurred regularly since the nature of prema is that the sought object becomes its target from far off. Although Krishna is way ahead, Samne Krishna is playing flute and then they can absorb. But Krishna is somewhere in the forests only. He went so many kilometers away from the residential places. But still, the nature of love is the distance, the physical distance between the love, the lover and the beloved is reduced because of that love. So gopis were feeling that closeness. Though Krishna was engaged in playing the flute at this time, he was in Pauganda. He aroused them because of his skillfulness in manifesting Kaishora as even at this time. So one verse comes somewhere in the middle of the 10th canto. Kaumaram panchamabdhantam paugandam dashamavadhi kaishoram a panchadashad yavanam tu tatah param. So what is kaumaram? The first 5 years of one's life is called kaumaram. Next 5 years is called pauganda. Till he reaches 10 years age, he's said to be in pauganda age. So from 10 to 15 it is kaishora. Beyond 15 is yavana. So this is how generally a human being progresses in age. So Krishna is in Pauganda age now, means below 10, above 5. That was his age. But he manifested Yavana feelings, as if he is in Kaishora or Yavana. So he is inducing some conjugal feelings in the gopis, as if he is a Kaishora man, as if he is a teenage man, teenage boy. Although he is below 10. So, Krishna's pace of growing is quite fast. In 3 years, 4 months, when Krishna was in Gokul Mahavan, he completed his Kaumara age. Generally, a human being will take 5 years to complete his Kaumara age, but Krishna finished it in 3 years, 4 months only. And in 6 years, 8 months, he finished his Pauganda age. And by the time he reached 10 years, 7 months, he came to Yavana. He finished his Kaishora and then came to Yavana. ordinary human being will take 15 years to reach Yavana, but Krishna finished it. Krishna reached Yavana in 10 years, 7 months only. Okay? And after that, Krishna will not grow. When he reaches Yavana, even if he is 1 year, 100 years old or 120 years old, he looks as if he is a Yavana man only. Just 16-year-old boy or maybe maximum 20, 25-year-olds. Year old, like that. But an ordinary human being will take 15 years to reach Yavana, and in 10 more years he will reach his Vriddhapya. Right? In 25-year age or 30-year age, people have their knee pains and back pains and indigestion problems and all this will happen. But Krishna is not like that. He grows fast till Yavana and beyond that no growth. He is like that throughout his life. So, this autumn beauty of Vrindavan stimulated Krishna to play flute, playing more and attract the gopis. So, all the women of Raja heard, however, since the sound is described as Sarva Bhuta Manoharam. So this flute sound is attractive not only to the gopis who are in conjugal feelings. Sarva Bhuta Manoharam. All the living entities are attracted to this flute sound. Right? That will be described throughout the chapter. Right? So that is why all these gopis were saying that you cannot excuse us for getting attracted to Krishna. Krishna is attractive to every living entity. Even animals are attracted, birds are attracted, men are attracted, women are attracted, we are also attracted. What is the problem? Why are you accusing us? So that is their argument. So Srimati Radharani spoke to her friend such as Lalita to reveal her mental anguish. Okay, she told only to her intimate friends, okay, because of great embarrassment. Next, fourth verse. Tadvarnayitum arabdha smarantyah krishna jeshtitam nashakan smaravegena vikshipta manason rupa.
The cowherd girls began to speak about Krishna, but when they remembered his activities, O king, the power of Cupid disturbed their minds, and thus they could not speak.
So they wanted to discuss about Krishna's various activities, but they could not because of the power of Cupid. They got silenced. So there is a sequence of arousal of love in their hearts. First they began discussing privately, paroksham. Then, but as they began, they could not do so. Then they started discussing more. Smara Vegana increased. Thus they turned over and over again in their minds the activities of he who has attracted their hearts using the flute. Like that. So, O King, Sukadeva Goswami addresses Parikshit with great pain produced by his intense emotions. Or he calls to Parikshit to control him when he sees Parikshit is developing strong emotions. So here, in the fourth verse, Nripa. Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami is describing the pastimes of the gopis, discussions of the gopis, and he is addressing Parikshit Maharaj as Nripa. Oh my dear Parikshit, why this kind of address is needed at this point? It's not needed. He can directly continue to narrate. I'm just speaking this. Nitai, I will just say like this. That means either you are distracted or I am distracted or something is happening. Right? That's why this kind of word Nrupa is mentioned here. So why here Sukadeva Goswami is addressing here? Because Sukadeva Goswami himself is undergoing some strong emotions while describing these pastimes. That's why he kind of addressed Parikshit, and he noticed some special feelings that are appearing in Parikshit Maharaj. So he just kind of called him, oh, you are getting absorbed, like that. That's why this address is there. Next, fifth verse. Barha pidam natavaravapu karnayor karnikaram.
Barha pidam natavaravapu karnayor karnikaram.
Bibhradvasah kanaka kapisham vaijayantim chamalam. Randhran Veno Radhara Sudhaya Purayan Gopa Vrindayar. Vrindaranyam Swapada Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. Together, Varhapidam natavaravapu karnayor karnikaram bibhradvasah kanaka kapisham vaijayantim chamalam randhran venoradhara sudhaya purayan gopavrindair vrindaranyam swapadaramanam pravishad gita kirte. Varhapidam, so apidam means a decoration on his head. What is the decoration on his head? Varaha, a peacock feather. So he was wearing a peacock feather. Varaha pidam. Then nata vara vapuhu. So his body is looking like a drama artist. Drama artist. His complexion is blue. And he's wearing yellow cloth. And he's wearing some special kind of turban, etc. Hair dressing. And peacock feather on top. And he's decorated with some forest flowers and garlands and etc. Right? So he looks, you don't see people walking around like that, right? You don't see a boy with dark complexion with this kind of decorations, right? Some kind of special dhoti, playing flute. He's exactly looking like a drama artist. That is how Krishna addresses himself. Natavara vapu. Then karnayor karnikaram. Near his ears he wears a flower called karnika. Sometimes in the left ear, sometimes in the right ear, right? So karnikaram. Then bibharad vasaha, and his vasa means the garments are shining, effulgent, yellow. Bibharad vasaha kanaka kapisham. Then he is wearing a vaijayanti mala. So vaijayanti mala is of five different colors. It is said like that. Vaijayantim cha malam, forest flowers, not the dwarka flowers. So dwarka flowers are grown in gardens. Right, there is something called vana, something called upavana. Vana means a natural forest where trees grow on their own. Upavana or udyanavana means a landscaped garden. Right, you make the plant in certain pattern. Right, you decide what plants to put. You decide what color patterns it should produce, the ultimate landscape. Right, so but vana means it's natural. So earlier it was a vana, now we have created upavanas here. Right? So vana, upavana. So Krishna is wearing vanyasraje or vaijayantim cha malam, which is a mala made of forest flowers. Then randhran venu radhara sudhaya purayan gopavrindair. So randhran venu, he has this venu flute and he is filling the flute holes with adhara sudhaya, nectar from his mouth, right? Randhran venor adhara sudhaya purayan gopavrindair. Along with the gopavrinda, he's just moving, right? Adhara sudhaya purayan gopavrindair. Where is he entering? Vrindaranyam. This aranya is Vrindavan. Vrindavanam, Vrinda aranyam. Swapada ramanam. With his beautiful, tender, leaf-like, soft lotus feet, he's traversing without any slippers only. Right, swapada ramanam pravishad gita kirtahi. And while all the gopas were singing his glories, he entered this Vrindavan forest. Right? So that is how Krishna is entering. And this whole pastime or this activity is visualized by all the gopis. They directly see, and as Krishna is entering, they start visualizing it. Right? So this is the first verse by which Sukadeva Goswami became a devotee. Right, after hearing Krishna's beautiful form and after hearing Krishna's mercy. Aho bhagiyam sthanakalakotam jighamsaya paye apya sadhvi asadhvi. Like that, all this were very attractive to Sukadeva Goswami. This particular verse, fifth verse, describes the trance of all these gopis. Right. So gopis started their meditation from the peacock feather, top to bottom. Generally meditation is from bottom to top. Here Barhapidam, they started from Barhapidam, the top, on top of his head there is peacock feather. They began like that, right? Then they came Swapadaramanam Vrindaranyam. They came to the feet, top to bottom. They can do that, you can't do that. So we should start from bottom to top. Right? So this is not the standard procedure that they are doing, but they are exalted, they can do any procedure. Right? All rules are not applicable to him. So Chakvartipad says, sometimes Krishna wore one karnika flower on the left ear, sometimes in the right ear. Okay, we have already discussed this. And the holes in the flute of Krishna, see this is very important. Since the gopis might have criticized the flute, this flute is a non-living being. It's just a stick made with some holes in it. And that is having such great fortune. Right? Randhran, Veno, Radhara, Sudhaya, Purayan, Gopavrundar and Krishna there. This flute is having constant association of Krishna's lips. That is our property. And they are becoming little envious of the flute. All the gopis were thinking like that. But Krishna filled the holes of this flute with the nectar of his lips, Adhara Sudhaya, and Krishna brought the dead stick to life. To what extent? That stick, that flute, is empowered to madden the entire three worlds. To such an extent, Krishna empowered this apparently insignificant tube-like stick with some holes in it. So when someone is in Krishna's association, he can be empowered to any extent. That we were discussing in the Damodar Leela also. So Krishna empowered the rope, which is very feeble in compared to the Yamalarjuna trees that are so tall and so strong. But Krishna empowered that rope and that small insignificant mortar to collapse those trees. Similarly, Krishna is empowering this insignificant flute, small flute, to madden the three worlds. All the three worlds got intoxicated by hearing this. So this flute vibration makes itself successful in accomplishing its purpose for fully exhibiting its powers by conquering the Vraja gopis. Like that. Although gopis were kind of slightly jealous of this flute, they were getting intoxicated by that flute only. Krishna is intoxicating them through the medium of that flute. Right? This flute was given the ability to churn such deep emotions in the hearts of all the hearers because of its association with Krishna, because of its malleability towards Krishna. So one has to be malleable in the hands of Krishna. One has to be flexible in the hands of Krishna, to the will of Krishna. Krishna is playing, whichever raga Krishna plays, flute is cooperating. You are playing this raga, I will not play this raga. Right? I play some other raga. No. Krishna wants Mallavasri raga in the Sharad season, flute plays. So if one is malleable to the will of Guru or the Supreme Lord, then he will be empowered to execute any kind of instructions, any kind of service. So flute, empowered to madden the three worlds. See, this is a simple proof. Right? Rope, empowered to collapse twin Arjuna trees. Right? We can learn lessons from ropes and flutes also, if we read Vrindavan pastimes. So, Natavaravapuh means Krishna had a body of a dancer. Yanmartya leelopaikam svayoga mayabalam darshayita grihitam vismapanam svasya cha saubhagardai parampadam bhushana bhushanangam. So, Krishna's activities are attractive even to his avatars. Right? Even Vishnu gets attracted. Even Mahavishnu wanted to have darshan of Krishna, that's why he kidnapped all the Brahmana sons. So Krishna has this Natavaravapu that is attractive to so many avatars also. Like that. Next, Vrinda. Vrinda is the protector of the forest. Right? Cleaned and decorated it specifically with the intention of stimulating Krishna for pastimes. So the forest gave bliss, Ramanam. So Vrindaranyam Swapada Ramanam. Pravishad Gita Kirte. So the forest gave bliss, that is Ramanam, to all persons and to Vrinda, since it was marked everywhere with his extraordinary footprints. So that one line is read by different acharyas in different ways. So, or the forest was attractive to his feet by being filled with the charming soft dust or fragrance of flowers, leaves, etc. So this forest, Vrindaranyam, was attractive to Krishna's feet. Right? It became attractive by Krishna's feet. That is one explanation. It became attractive to Krishna's foot. Right? Krishna's feet got attracted to this Vrindavan. Now, you are walking on the road. Sometimes your feet are attracted to a cleaner road compared to a kitchen road. Similarly, Krishna's feet are attracted to this Vrindaranyam, this path. Like that. So, Balram was included amongst the cowherd boys. He is not mentioned because the gopis were attracted to Krishna, not Balram. Right? Although Krishna and Balaram were going, but gopis are specifically attracted to Krishna. Like that. Next. Iti venu ravam, ravam rajan. Sarva bhuta manoharam. Shrutva vrajastriya sarva. Varnayanto bhire bhire.
O King, when the young ladies in Vraj heard the sound of Krishna's flute, which captivates the minds of all living beings, they all embraced one another and began describing it.
See this. Iti venu ravam rajan. Sarvabhuta manoharam. This is Sarvabhuta manoharam we just discussed. So this playing of Krishna's flute is very attractive to all living entities. So Shrutva, Vrajastriya Sarva, all the Vrajastris assembled. And Varnayanto Bhire Bhire. So they embraced each other and then started describing the effect of Krishna's beautiful flute. Okay. So that is the sixth verse. Harivamsa says, there were Srimati Radharani's Sakhis called Vishakha and Lalita. Lalita is also called Anuradha. She is always following Srimati Radharani. And Chandravali's Sakhi is called Saibhya and Padma. There are different groups. So amongst them, they revealed their desires confidentially, expressing their fixed love. So after becoming speechless by remembering Krishna, gopis then regained their composure. And they started discussing. So as a few gopis began to exclaim, the other gopis realized that they shared the same ecstatic love. Oh, you are feeling like that? I am also feeling like that. So they were discussing like that. Chakravarti says, seeing the gopis couldn't speak, omniscient Sukadeva Goswami began to describe Krishna's pastimes in accordance to the gopis' mood of intense love. Gopis were unable to speak. So Sukadeva Goswami got into their mood, got into their minds, right? In alignment with their minds, he started speaking. For example, you are unable to express something, right? You want to propose something, but he will articulate your words, what is there in your mind, because he is closer to you, and then get the thing done. Something like Sukadeva Goswami is getting that thing done now. Because he is closer to the minds of gopis. Anandavrindavan Champu says, although there were unlimited gopis, unlimited groups of gorgeous gopis, they all had the great fortune of achieving the highest stage of love for Krishna. The gopis had peaceful natures and the same object of meditation. What is their object of meditation? Krishna. Desire to attain Krishna. Like that. And there are many more details. So now, from 7th verse onwards, their actual singing begins. So that is the 7th verse. Akshanvatam falamidam naparam vidamah. Sakhya pashun anuviveshayator vayasyaihi. Vaktram vrajesha sutayor anavenu jushtam. Yairvani pita manurakta kataksha moksham. Akshanvatam falamidam naparam vidama. Sakhya pashun anuviveshayatorva yasyaihi. Vaktram rajesha sutayor anavenu jushtam. Yairvani pita manurakta kataksha moksham. So here they say that akshanvatam phalam idam naparam vidamah. Akshanvatam phalam idam. The purpose of having one's eyes is this only. What? To see Krishna. The purpose of eyes is achieved only when one sees Krishna. Naparam vidamah. I don't know any other object. I don't know any other purpose of having eyes. Eyes are there to see Krishna, not any other object. And they are saying like this because this is not just the purpose of our eyes. It is the purpose of your eyes also. It is the purpose of your eyes also. It is the purpose of the eyes of entire humanity and the entire cosmic manifestation who has eyes. Every living entity who has eyes is he has eyes only to see Krishna. Right? That's what they are saying. Don't blame us. Akshanvatam phalamidam. It's everybody's. The purpose of having eyes for everyone is this only. Don't blame us, that we are getting so attracted to Krishna. That is their point. So sakhya pashun anuviveshayator vayasyehi. So along with sakhya, all these gopas, Krishna is entering the forest of Vrindavan. Right? Vayasyehi. Vayasyehi means of the equal age. Vayasyaha. Same vayas. All the other boys, right? Other cowherd boys that are of same age of Krishna. So vaktram vrajesha. Vaktram means faces. Vrajesha sutayor. Vrajesha sutayor means the sons of Vrajesha, king of Vrindavan. That is Nandamara's sons. Who are they? Krishna and Balaram. Right? Why they are saying Vrajesha sutayor? They are attracted to Krishna only. Why they have to include Balaram also? Are they attracted to Balaram also? Any guesses? Any guess? Why they say Vrajesha sutayor? Why didn't they say Vrajesha suta only? Sutayor. Bolo. Quiz. To hide there. This is the right reason acharyas give. When you generalize things, your specific purpose in saying or doing something is not revealed. They are hiding their feelings for Krishna by including Balaram also there. Oh, the purpose of eyes is to see Krishna and Balaram going there. Actually, what they meant is, purpose of eyes is to see Krishna going like that. Like that. Now, sometimes you all may come and say, for example, you have a desire to go to Chaupati for some festival or to do something. Prabhu, we feel like going to Chaupati this weekend. You say, why, you? You tell, I. You're generalizing things like that. Now, your gopis are also generalizing. Right? So, airva nipitam anurakta kataksha moksham. Right? So, anurakta means loving. Kataksha is glances. Moksham, giving off. He is, Krishna, although he is heading towards, you know, the forest to herd the cows, he would sometimes put some glances. The gopis are behind, right? So he would see like that. While playing flute, he will see like that and move ahead. So that's what he is. That's what they are referring to. Airva nipitam anurakta kataksha moksham. He is the one who is glancing. Balaramji is not glancing. First line they said, vaktram vrajesha sutayor anuvenu jushtam. Vrajesha sutayor. They mentioned both Krishna and Balaram. But next line they say, kataksha moksham. So they were, only Krishna is glancing towards them, not Balaramji. That shows that they are referring to Krishna only. So to see Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan is the ultimate limit of vision. Those eyes that see beautiful faces of two sons of Nanda are very fortunate. Like that. So they hold flutes to their mouths and glance lovingly upon Brajavasis. So there is radiant tilak on their foreheads. Right? So akshanvatam phalam. Purport says, if you simply remain in the shackles of family life in material world, what will you ever get to see? Creator has granted us eyes to see Krishna. We are just being in the household life and then seeing so many other objects, household paraphernalia, wife, children, and so many other things, relatives. Purpose is to see Krishna, right? That is the point they are saying. So gopis were aware of their mothers or elders might hear their romantic words and disapprove. Kya bol rahe? You're assembling with each other privately and this is what you are discussing? Their parents may come and scold them. Right? You are discussing about Krishna privately, secretly. What will people think? What will the society think? You are a young girl and then discussing about some other young boy privately and then in groups. So people may, their parents and elders may kind of ridicule them. Scold them, chastise them. That's why they are saying, akshanvatam phalamidam. Oh my dear elders, don't chastise us. We are saying that the power of your vision is also, is there to see Krishna only. Like that. So, next. Those faces give bliss to everyone in Vrindavan forest, even the birds and beasts, but not to us, staying in our homes far away. And akshanvatam phalamidam, another meaning is, the gopis were feeling very morose that, the purpose of having eyes is fulfilled for all the birds of Vrindavan, monkeys of Vrindavan, deer of Vrindavan, trees and so many other living entities in Vrindavan. There, the purpose of their eyes is fulfilled. But the purpose of our eyes is not fulfilled. Because we are staying back. We are in stay back. We are not in yatra. We are in stay back in the house only. Right? So this is connected to the next verse also. So since Krishna is the supreme object of love for everyone, why shouldn't they have love for him in spiritual ecstasy? So success for those who have eyes is, we do not know any other result than seeing our beloved. So what is that result? It is what is experienced, nipitam, and tasted, jushtam. Right? So that is tasted and experienced, cannot be expressed. Gopis were saying like that. How can others understand the object of what is experienced and tasted? They do not clearly state the object, but say only this. Akshanvatam idam. Idam. I mean, idam, what is that idam? They didn't clearly specify in the verse. Right? So, making it secret. Since it would be unsuitable to mention the name abruptly. Okay? Or they are unable to state clearly the details since they are overcome by intense prema. Now, when Atri offers prayers, there are some mistakes in the prayers because he himself doesn't know the position of Supreme Lord. I want a son as good as Supreme Lord, and then he started offering some prayer. Right? Technically, that may not be very right. And Daksha may offer some prayers, or some other people may offer some prayers, and there could be some kind of discrepancies. Acharyas point that out. But when gopis' talks are not seeming logical, we should understand that is because of their ecstasy. You cannot evaluate this with your general logic or grammar, Sanskrit grammar knowledge. They are in a transcendental platform only. Right? There may be some inconsistency also in what they say sometimes. But all this is because of their ecstatic emotions towards Krishna, which are beyond the understanding of conditioned souls. But as much as Acharyas reveal, we will understand. Okay. Next, satisfaction of all senses. We know the success of all the senses is experiencing and tasting his face. Success for the activities of the senses is accomplished by the highest fruit of tasting his face. That's why in Rudra Gita also, it is a snigdha pravrut ghanashyamam sarva saundarya sangraham. So Krishna's beauty is the collection of all beauties that are available in the material world and in the spiritual world. It's a collection of all of them. Right? So by seeing that collection of all beauties, one is satisfied. If you are seeing one beauty, that is not very exciting. For example, you are served only idli today. Right? Tomorrow may be dosa. Yesterday may be medu vada. Just imagine a feast where all are there. Right? South Indian items are there, sweets are there, North Indian items, sweets are there, paratha is there. They're like that, there are some 50 to 70 items in the menu. When you go there, you don't know where to look at, what to eat, right? You are overwhelmed with ecstasy to eat, right? It's like beyond your capacity to absorb and assimilate and do justice to such an elaborate menu. So Krishna's beauty is the collection of all beauties. By seeing one beautiful object, you feel so much pleasure. By seeing one Kohoz mountain, you feel a lot of pleasure. So many waterfalls are there. By going to some Kodak canal or some other beautiful places, you will have more pleasure somewhere. Right? So, like that, there are hundreds and millions of beautiful places in this world. There are hundreds and millions of beautiful forms, objects within this world. And there are millions and millions of more beautiful objects in the heavenly planets. Right? And in so many other universes, there are so many other planets. In all of them, there are so many beautiful objects. And that is within this material world. And in the spiritual world, there are so many beauties, beautiful persons, beautiful objects, beautiful ambience, atmosphere, etc. The collection of all those beauties is there in the form of Krishna. Kitna aankh chahiye, how many eyes you need to see that beauty? To hear the glories of Krishna, Prithu Maharaj says, I want millions of ears. To see the beauty of Krishna, two eyes are not sufficient. That's why gopis will give galley to Brahmaji. Right? He has given two eyes only. With two eyes, what will you see Krishna? On top of it, another defect is there are eyelids on that. which are constantly blinking. How will you do justice to Krishna's beauty? Akshanvatam phalamidam. The purpose of having eyes is to see Krishna's beauty, and there are lids on those eyes. When there are only two eyes, why not millions of eyes? Maybe Indra must be getting better darshan of Krishna with 1,000 eyes. But he is distracted. He is distracted to do so many other things. Right? He gets attracted to Ahalya, he gets attracted to so and so other people. Right? And with 1,000 eyes he will see who is doing some tapasya and who is competing for my post. That's how he will see. He has 1,000 eyes, but he has no taste for Krishna's darshan so much as the gopis have. And poor gopis, they have only two eyes. They were giving gali to Brahma. And they are saying, right in the beginning of their Venugita only, they are saying, Akshanvatam phalamidam, na param vidamaha. Like that. Next, Vrajesha Sutayor, it is explained. Harivamsa says, Vasudev also had many cows, right? And could be, he can also be Vrajesha. Now, Vrajesha Sutayor means Nandamara's sons, right? Because Vasudev also had sons, he can also be called Vrajesha. Actually, Krishna and Balram are the sons of Vasudev, not Nanda Maharaj, right, in one sense, especially Balramji. Balramji is directly the son of Vasudev, everyone knows, right? And as far as birth is concerned, Krishna is popularly known to be the son of Vasudev than Nanda Maharaj also. He just grew there for 10 years only. So, Vrajesha Sutiyor can also mean Vasudev's sons, Krishna and Balram. Okay. Vaktram Vrajesha Sutayor, face amongst the two of them which was turning back. This we discussed already. Sajiv Goswami says, Krishna is famous for having the flute in his mouth and following behind Balram since he is younger. So, you see, Balramji is going forward and Krishna is behind because he is younger. That is the external reason. Internal reason is he has to turn back and see the gopis. Right? So, he was going behind Balramji. You see that image is there. Who is first? I don't remember. Is that painting according to... Balramji is behind. Balramji is going forward and Krishna is behind. There is another image also. Here Krishna is moving forward. Okay. Many of the BBT paintings are made according to the descriptions of Bhagavatam. That is some temple painting. Next, seeing Krishna unconditionally, sarvadharmayan parityutya. So today let us give up all family tradition and shyness and control. Yet, let us see, touch, hear and smell him. But how is it possible since we are so shy? They were thinking, let's give up all the shy business and the society, tradition, this and that. Let's go and see him. Akshanvatam phalamidam. That's how their emotions are just pulling them too much. So many times they do like that. In Rasleela, right, Sarat Purnima day, they did like that. And when Akrura came to take Krishna and Balram away, whole night they were like devastated. They could not sleep only. What happened to all these elders? How were they agreeing that Krishna and Balram can go to Mathura? Right, all the gopis were discussing about Krishna Balram going to Mathura throughout the night. They could not sleep only. And entire Vrindavan was thinking that Krishna and Balram will go to Mathura. After 3 days, they will come back. Okay, they are just going because of Kamsa's invitation. They will go and then after 3 days, they come back. Only gopis were thinking, if he goes now, he will never come back. And that's what has become true. Right? So these gopis, because they were thinking about this only throughout the night, they could not control their emotions. Forget about Shai, forget about this society. None of the elders are going to stop Krishna and Balram. No point expecting anything from them. Let us go ourselves and stop Krishna and Balram from going to Vrindavan, from going away from Vrindavan. They went, they caught all the horses, right? They caught the chariot driver. They pulled the chariot driver and then threw him and then started beating him. They started beating the horses, right? They directly went to Krishna and Balram. Don't go, don't go. They were like, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. They were singing and then crying, and so many gopis were just obstructing the path, right? Some gopis fainted, right? So like that, they were creating a big mess. We have carved it. Last two images are that only, on the Garbhagriha. Like that, two of the same scene, we kept two carvings. So, Yeah, sometimes gopis give up their, culture and not culture and what is that called, social traditions, and then come out of their zones, comfort zones, to serve Krishna and to stop Krishna and to express their love for Krishna. On the other hand, even Brahman Patnis also did like that. But the husbands of this Brahman Patnis, this Dvijas, these Brahmana ladies, they could not do. Although they realized, in 23rd chapter you will see, although they realized that, we missed serving Krishna, right? Still they could not go and beg forgiveness from Krishna because they were afraid of Kamsa. But gopis were not like that. Okay, the faces releases sidelong glances, kataksham moksham, upon those who are attracted to him, anurakta. He will search you out and release the arrow of his glance. When it strikes you, you will become agitated with love and forget your shyness and control. Then you will look without shyness on the face. Like that. Next. Chuta pravala barhas tabako palabja. Malanu prukta paridhana vichitra vesho. Madhye vireja duralam pashupala goshtyam. Range yatha natavarau kvacha gaya manau.
Dressed in a charming variety of garments, upon which their garlands rest, and decorating themselves with peacock feathers, lotuses, lilies, newly grown mango sprouts, and clusters of flower buds, Krishna and Balaram shine forth magnificently among the assembly of cowherd boys. They look just like the best of dancers appearing on a dramatic stage, and sometimes they sing.
So, how these two personalities, Krishna and Balaram, were looking like Natavara, like drama artist, is explained in this verse. Chuta pravala means young sprouts of mango tree, right? Chuta pravala, barha, peacock feathers, stabaka, so many bunches of flowers, utpala, lotuses, abja, lilies, mala, garlands, right? Anuprukta paridhana vichitra veshau, right? So many, they are wearing nice garments. And with all this chuta, pravala, barha, etc., so many other decorations, village decorations, so many ornaments are there, all this. They are not describing, what kind of pearl necklaces he is wearing, and then diamond necklaces he is wearing, or whatever, emerald necklaces he is wearing. It's all chuta, pravala, some mango sprouts. Okay, pick up some mango leaf and then put here. Right? Pick up some newly grown flower and then put here. Some lilies, some lotuses. Some peacock feathers, which are available everywhere. So Vrindavan is simplicity. And there is a lot of beauty in that simplicity only, without spending so much also. Like that. So paridhana vichitra veshav. They are having variety of dresses. Madhye vijeratur. Madhye virejatu alam. Madhye virejatu means, they are shining. Virajaman. They are shining where? Madhya, in the middle of so many gopas. Alam Pashupala Goshtyam, in the assembly of cowherd boys. Renge Yatha Natavarau Kvacha Gaya Manau. So sometimes they sing and then sometimes they dance. So they are like drama artists, stage artists, right? Some see this picture where Krishna and Balaram were dancing like drama artists. Right? All the other cowherd boys are like singing and then Krishna and Balaram are dancing. So Chuta Pravala Barha. Yeah, this is also, they were dressed like drama artists. So dressed in charming variety of garments, garlands, peacock feathers, lotuses, lilies, newly grown mango sprouts and flower buds, Krishna and Balaram shine magnificently. So Harivamsa says, they have lovely peacock feathers in their hair, along with gems. They appear to be wearing a small portion of a cloud accompanied by constellations and a rainbow. So when they are having some peacock feather there, right, with some gems, it looks as if a portion of cloud they have taken, sky they have taken. There is some cloud, there are some constellations and stars on top of their head, like that. And rainbow, because peacock feather also has some multiple colors also. Then, their strong bodies were worshipped by the fragrance of their garlands. The fragrance of the garlands is worshipping their body. Next, surrounded by bees. They had an extraordinary dress in the form of long humming of bees. So when the garland is surrounded by bees, that's seen as if they are wearing another layer of dress. So many, when the flowers are very fragrant, so many bees come. Sometimes here also, you see, so many bees come. Sometimes ants also come here. That's a problem for us. So Krishna Balaram, like one is white with blue cloth and the other was blue with yellow cloth. Pakka drama artists. So when they bring the cows to Gokul, our distress will disappear. So gopis desire to go to the forest. So now why they are saying all this? Because gopis were thinking that, can't we go to the forest and hide behind the bushes and then see Krishna and Balaram nicely dancing? That is their desire. Right? They want to see Krishna and Balaram dancing like that. So because they could not go, they sang this song in ecstatic love. So Jiva Goswami says, they conceal their emotions in the second verse. But in the third verse, they could no longer conceal. They reveal. And in the fourth verse, they conceal their love to some degree. They make some attempt to conceal, to again retract back. We will go through those verses. Now Vichitra Vesha indicates, their heads are filled with bunches of flowers within which they place mango buds and peacock feathers. Ears are there. They have the inner portions of water lilies in their ears. Maybe we can try here. Tomorrow somebody bring. So inner portion of water lilies they put as earring. Right? Water lilies. And in their right hands they were playing lotuses. Playing with lotuses. They had garlands over their clothing. And they are dancing. Other boys would play instruments and dress skillfully. And otherwise the dancing would not be so beautiful. They both were dancing and other boys were, you know, playing the flute and all. I just showed, right? Wiggles, etc. So there is a gradual development in the first verses that the gopis speak. So the previous verses say that the cowherd boys had success for their eyes since they could see Krishna at that time. Now the present verse says, not only do they see them, but they experience happiness with singing and dancing amidst the group where these two people were present. First verse is saying, Akshanvatam Phalamidam. So the purpose of the gopa's eyes is satisfied by seeing Krishna and Balaram. And in this verse, they are saying that gopas are not just seeing Krishna Balaram, they are also playing with them. It's like one step ahead. And gopis were remembering all this and they were getting frustrated. The frustration is mainly because of the public opinion. They are unable to go to see Krishna and Balaram in the forest because of the public fear. Now I will show you another PowerPoint where these verses are nicely depicted. So this is Krishna and Balaram entering forest, playing flute. And this is the third verse. All the gopis are sitting together and then discussing about Krishna's flute. And this is also a similar verse. And in Venu Gita, all the gopis discuss Krishna's eyes, flute, peacocks, doe and buck, then wives of demigods. What is the effect of Krishna's flute on all these people? Birds, rivers, summer cloud, etc. So now Krishna and Balaram are going. And this is the next verse. And the next verse, they both are dancing in the midst of all these gopas. Okay. So these are different images of this entire Venu Gita. So we'll see as we are progressing. So now, glories of this Murari's Murali are further explained in the purports of Acharyas. Anandamidam Champu says, Krishna's face looked very attractive, brightened by his beautiful white teeth, shining with his fresh leaf-like lips. So Murali is devoid of defects, even though full of holes. So something that has so many holes on throughout his body doesn't look very attractive. But here, this Murali is looking very attractive. So just see the Murali of Murari. Although hollow, it holds a stream of ragas. Something that is hollow cannot hold anything. If the bottle is hollow, it can't hold the water. But Murali is hollow, but it is holding so many ragas. See their poetic description. It is formed from one section of a tree, but it initiates hundreds of festivals. So one tree is there, you just break a little bit of it, and that is morally. But it can create hundreds of festivals, parvani. So many exhaustive details I am unable to share. If one verse, if I go for 1 hour, we will not be able to complete also. So thus the sound of Krishna's flute is a treasure of wonders, treasure house of wonders. Madhumangal spoke in that Govardhan episode about this flute. Krishna, if you play a flute, stones will melt. And if you play a flute, water will become solid. If these two things happen under Govardhan, what will happen to us? All the water that is falling, that will become solid. And Govardhan will melt and become water and it will only inundate us. Right? Don't play flute. That's what Madhumangal says, jovially. We will learn more in 24th chapter. Okay, next verse. Gopyah kimacharadashayam kushalam smavenur. Damodaradhara sudham api gopikanam. Bhungte svayam yada vishishtarasam hridinyo. Harishyatvachoshrumumuchustaravo yatharya.
My dear gopis, what auspicious activities must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips independently and leave only a taste for us gopis, for whom that nectar is actually meant? The forefathers of the flute, the bamboo trees, shed tears of pleasure. His mother, the river on whose bank the bamboo was born, feels jubilation, and therefore her blooming lotus flowers are standing like hair on her body.
So what auspicious activities did the gopi, the flute do? So three things are mentioned in this verse. First, the fortune of the gopis, fortune of the flute. It's just a small portion of a bamboo tree, right? But it is getting the nectar of Krishna's lotus mouth, and that is actually meant for us, but this flute is taking away all that. So these gopis were very little jealous of this flute, and they were appreciating the fortune of the flute's forefathers. Who are the forefathers of the flute? Tree. Who is the mother of the flute? River. Why? Because river water only will feed the tree, and the tree only gives rise to this flute. So like that they were nicely glorifying, right? This mother is feeling jubilation. Blooming lotus flowers are standing like hair on the body. All the forefathers, bamboo, they are shedding tears of pleasure. What is the tears? The sap that is coming out of the tree. So trees are crying. That is considered crying of the tree, the sap. So how in the guise of releasing the flowing sap or honey? Upon hearing Krishna's glories, devotees shed tears of joy and experience horripilation. Similarly, upon hearing Krishna's flute song, all the trees were shedding tears in the form of sap. Why? Because they were thinking that our child has become such an exalted devotee of Krishna. Child is a flute. Next, another reason. They were unhappy at not being able to play with Krishna themselves or get the nectar of Krishna's lips. Bamboo, like, just take some small portion that went to Krishna, and entire bamboo tree is there. The tree is thinking, hey, none of my other portions are available to take association of Krishna. Only this small twig went. That's why they are crying. So why should they lament for that which is impossible for them to attain? Just as a beggar certainly doesn't lament because he is forbidden to meet the king. Trees are actually just like intelligent persons who suffer when they cannot obtain the goal of life. Now see the flute's audacity. It's not ordinary sound, but she cries the bliss of the flute experiences in Krishna's association. So when flute is playing ragas, that is the ecstasy of the flute of associating with Krishna. When he is associating with Krishna, there is ecstasy, and that ecstasy is coming out in the form of ragas. Like that. Everything is a person, right? So though it appears to us to be a dry piece of wood, how many pious activities has this flute performed in this life and previous lives? Right? We will also do those pious activities and then get the association of Krishna. That's what gopis were thinking. So one beautiful verse comes in the next later chapters. Gopyah tapah kimacharanyadamushya rupam Lavanya sarama samordhvamananya siddham Drigbih pibantyanu savabhinavam durapam Ekanta dhamaya shashashriya aishwarasya. So this is the appreciation of all the Mathura ladies about this Vrindavan gopis. So Vraja gopis were very fortunate and Mathura ladies were appreciating these Vraja gopis. So gopyah tapah kim acharan, right? What kind of austerities did these gopis do, right? Gopyah tapah. This one only. You're able to see? Gopyah tapah kimacharan yadamushya rupam. So what is the austerity that gopis have done to see this beautiful form of Krishna? Yadamushya rupam. What is the glory of that form? Lavanya saram. It is the essence of all beauty. Right? So beauty is definitely very glorious. The saram, the essence of the beauty is there in the form of Krishna. Asamordhvam, second, means there is no other beauty which is comparable to it or superior to it. Asamordhvam. And where did Krishna get that beauty? From Ananya Siddham. It is not obtained from anywhere. It is innate in him. It is natural in him. Ananya Siddham. Drigbhi Pibanti. Although one drinks that beauty through the medium of his ears, eyes, Anusava Abhinavam Durapam. It is constantly appearing newer and newer and newer. And it is Durapam, very rarely attainable. Someone may say that go to Vrindavan and see this beauty, what a big deal. No, Durapam, extremely rare. To go to Vrindavan is not so easy. Right? One may get a ticket and then go, but he doesn't have that feeling like gopis. No, the experience of gopis is different from other Vrajavasis. Right? They were appreciating gopis. Gopya tapah kim acharan yadamushya rupam. So how did the gopis see that beautiful aspects of Krishna? Right? Different people may see different objects. But the emotions churned in their hearts are different. Different viewers will have different emotions in their hearts by seeing the same object. Right? So durapam. Ekanta dhama yashasya shriya aishwarasya. Ekanta dhama means it is the one and only abode. Krishna's beauty is the one and only abode of yashasaha, fame, shriya, beauty, aishwara, all opulences. Not just yasha and, not just beauty and fame only. It is the dhamma of all other opulences. Shri aishwarasya. So here, gopis, all the Mathura ladies were appreciating the austerities done by the gopis. And here gopis were appreciating the austerities done by the flute. To be able to have the association of Krishna, right? So what the gopis are experiencing is something very rare. So coming to this verse again, here Damodar Adhara Sudha, addressing Krishna as Damodar, they suggest that he and they had a special natural relationship which started from early childhood. When is Krishna called Damodar? When Yashodamai tied him, right? Now, why these gopis are saying that Damodar Adhara Sudha? Which line? Second line. Gopyah kimacharadayam kushalam sma venur Damodar Adhara Sudha api gopikanam. Why their gopis are addressing Krishna as Damodar here? Because when Krishna was Damodar, all the gopis were smaller. At that time only they have made a relationship with Krishna. Their friendship with Krishna began when Krishna was a small Damodar, 3-year-old boy only. 2-3-year-old boy only. That's why they are referring to that. Damodar Adhara Sudha. Therefore, we gopis should enjoy him. The flute is male. On top of it, flute is male. Male is enjoying the nectar of Krishna's lips and we are not enjoying. And thus unsuitable to enjoy him. The flute always drinks the nectar of his lips. And it's only enjoyment available for the flute. Since we do not see it doing anything else. You see, you're enjoying something rarely attainable. And that is the only enjoyment that you have also. The flute is not getting nectar from anywhere else. Only directly from Krishna. How fortunate it is. Right? You are reporting only to your guru. No one else. Something like that. It's like quite intense. right? Quite fortunate. You are constantly in the association of that by one person only. So one may feel that fortune. So gopi means they protect their bodies by aspiring for him alone. Gopa. They protect their feelings, they protect their possessions only for the pleasure of Krishna. Gopa means hiding. Gopa means keeping things secret. That's why they are called gopi. They are keeping all their possessions and their bodies secretly, right, confidentially, for pleasure of Krishna. That's why they are called gopi. So seeing the good fortune of the flute, the rivers have their hair standing on the end in the form of lotuses blooming. Rivers' hairs are standing on end. What does it mean? All the lotuses are coming out of the rivers. They were standing on the end. So Harivamsa says, I pray for the body of a bamboo flute. Not the respectable body of a woman. Not the body of a respectable woman. Because flute is getting the association of Krishna. We are not getting the association. Whatever it takes to get the association of Krishna, we will do. If it takes for us to become a flute, just a small stick with some holes in it, we don't mind doing it. We want association of Krishna. That is the meditation of all these beautiful gopis. Now, these earrings are also there now for Krishna. Bhungte swayam yad avasishta rasam hridinyo. This is Bhungte Hridam, that means he is enjoying the nectar of Krishna's lips, that is what is mentioned. Harishyat vachoshru mumuchuh taravo yathariya. Okay, all this we have discussed. So many such beautiful aspects are there. So basically flute is a non-moving entity, achala. And flute is a male in gender. Third, flute is never married Krishna. Krishna is paramour only of flute, and it is alone, right? And it is constantly getting Krishna's association, and it is getting Krishna's association only, no other association also, pure nectar. Okay. For example, yesterday all of you liked that what is that sweet, chakrabangal. If I served only chakrabangal, someone who relishes sweet and who can digest sweet, I am saying, that is ecstasy for him. No other item, no dal, no sabji, nothing else, only that alone. Next comes. So now what I would do is, I will just discuss whatever I remember only, instead of going into the details of so many verses. Gopya means keeping it very secret. Gopya. Right? So gopi is that devotee of the Lord who keeps their bodies and their feelings and their possessions secretly, so that with those possessions they can serve Krishna. Vrindavanam Vrindavanam sakhi bhuvo vidanoti kirtim yad devaki sutapadam bujalabdha lakshmi Govinda Venu Manumatta Mayura Nrityam Prekshyadri Sanvavartanya Samasta Sattvam. So Vrindavanam Sakibhuvo Vitanoti Kirtam. Vrindavanam, the land of Vrindavan, is spreading the glories of this earthly planet. Vrindavanam Sakhi. Sakhi means, oh my dear gopi friends, Bhuvo Vitanoti Kirtim. The glory of this planet has been enhanced by having Vrindavan on its surface. Right? So something like the glory of say Vidyapit is enhanced by having Yaduvar Prabhu there. Something like that. So far. The glory of Vidyapit is enhanced by having Radhesham Prabhu so far. Right? Something to that effect. You are just in front of my eyes. No? Your name came. Radhesham Prabhu, that is the right example. So Vrindavanam Sakhi Bhuvo Vitanoti Kirtim. And what is the glory of the Vrindavan? Why Vrindavan's glory, why Earth's glory is enhanced by Vrindavan? Why not some other place? Right? Why not Sangli? Why not Galtare? Why not some other place? Why not some Hyderabad? Why only Vrindavan? Because yad Devaki Sutta Padambuja Labdha Lakshmi. Devaki Sutta means Krishna. Devaki Sutta Padambuja Labdha Lakshmi. Lakshmi means wealth. Vrindavan has attained the wealth of the footprints of Krishna. And Krishna here is addressed as Devaki Sutta. Why Devaki Sutta? Why not Yashoda Sutta? Actually, Devaki here in this verse is referring to Yashoda Mai only. Devaki and Yashoda are such close friends, sometimes they are called, you know, with each other's names also. Sometimes Devaki is also called Yashoda is also called Devaki. Here when gopis are addressing Krishna as Devaki Sutta, they are actually referring to Yashoda Mai only, not Devaki in Mathura. Yet Devaki Sutta Padambuja Labdha Lakshmi. Vrindavan has attained the wealth of the footprints of Krishna. Only in Vrindavan, Krishna would walk barefoot. Right? All the auspicious marks of gourd and lotus and other things on Krishna's lotus feet are imprinted on Vrindavan, and no bird or no animal or no human being in Vrindavan would disturb those footprints. So, if someone wants to know where Krishna is, he need not call him. He need not message him. He can just follow the footprints of Krishna. They are undisturbed. Right? You just follow the footprints of Krishna and reach where he is. They are undisturbed by anyone. Second, they are unique. No other person's footprints have those kind of auspicious marks. Right? They can easily find out. When all the Vrindavan Vasis are seeing so many omens, when Krishna jumped into Kaliya's lake, all of them were thinking of Krishna's welfare only. When some danger happens, right, when you are feeling, for example, it said that for males, if the left side of their body is kind of vibrating, it shows some kind of inauspicious sign, right? So when they see some inauspicious sign in their bodies, when the Vrajavasis see some inauspicious signs in the nature or somewhere else, they all of them unanimously think about Krishna's protection. Hey, I'm seeing some dangerous woman. Is Krishna is in danger? All of them are thinking about Krishna's safety constantly. So when they saw all these omens, they thought Krishna must be in danger. On top of it, Balramji did not go to pasturing ground. Right? Balramji did not go to the forest on that day when Krishna jumped into Kaliya's lake. That further increased their anxiety. All of them did not even lock their doors, did not even keep things here and there safely, and then came out of their house. They just ran from their houses following the footprints of Krishna, and entire Vrindavan village is on the banks of Yamuna, that Yamuna lake, right? Because Krishna's footprints are there. They could follow. That's a bigger discussion. Next. Govinda Venu Manu. That is about the fortune of land of Vrindavan. Next, the fortune of the peacocks. This verse also describes about the peacocks. Govinda Venu Manumoda Mayura Nrityam. When Krishna plays the flute, all the Mayura, right, they got intoxicated by that flute sound. Govinda Venum Anumatta Mayura Nrityam. They start dancing. And one of the peacocks, the king of peacocks, they would come and then offer their peacock feather to Krishna. Please wear it. Krishna puts it right on the head, right, reciprocating. And sometimes the peacock will kind of, prompt Krishna also using so and so raga. Right? Somewhere I have read. Like that. And this Vrindavan is superior to Vaikuntha also, superior to heavenly planets, and superior to definitely all other earthly places. No need to mention that. Like that. Jiva Goswami says, Gopis call Krishna as the son of Devaki because of the words of Garga. Another reference. So this Devaki can also refer to Vasudeva's wife Devaki. Because Gargamani in the 10th canto, 8th chapter, he revealed that sometimes this child is the son of Vasudeva also. Keeping that in mind also, Gopis must have said it according to Jiva Goswami. Next. That is about Govinda Venu Manumatta Mayura Nrityam. Then Prekshadri Swan Avataranya Avaratanya Samasta Sattvam. This is another point. Other creatures, Prekshya Adrisanu. So Prekshya means they were seeing. Adrisanu means upon the peaks of the hills. Avarata, stunned. Anya Samasta Sattvam. There are so many other creatures. They were watching Krishna from the hilltops. Tila. There are some raised lands. Okay, naturally they are there. They go there and then see. You can see that video also. So some animals just gather from hilltops and then see Krishna from there when Krishna is playing flute. Right. So gopis call Krishna, the son of Devaki. Okay. So Krishna's musical performance with peacocks, and he wears peacock feathers also. This we have discussed. And Govinda, why Govinda word is mentioned? Because he is the controller of cows. And this entire Venu Gita, everything is happening in the midst of Krishna's herding the cows. Right? So they use the name in that sense. Since Krishna became famous as Govinda only after bathing ceremony of Indra. Actually, Krishna received the name after bathing ceremony of Indra. But here only gopis are calling him Govinda. Because Krishna is herding the cows, that's why he is called Govinda by the gopis here. Okay, there are so many other details. I will leave it for you to study. So gopis were saying, we do not have the capacity to attain the good fortune of Vrindavan. We worship the peacocks because of their good fortune at every moment. The domestic animals in the house are worthy of worship. We are more condemned than the animals since they can freely see Krishna. Whereas we can't even see Krishna's shadow. This is what gopis were thinking. But they were constantly associating with Krishna through the medium of their remembrance. But they were considering themselves very unfortunate and lower than all these other creatures which are there in the forest also. Like that. Next. Dhanyasma moodhagatayo api harinya eta. Yananda nandanam upatta vichitra vesham. Akarnya venu ranitam saha krishna sarah. Pujam dadhur virachitam pranayava lokaihi.
Blessed are all these foolish deer because they have approached Maharaj Nanda's son, who is gorgeously dressed and is playing on his flute. Indeed, both the doe and the bucks worship the Lord with looks of love and affection.
Both the doe and bucks. So, after appreciating the fortune of the land of Vrindavan, after appreciating the fortune of the peacocks of Vrindavan, after appreciating all the other animals who are able to see Krishna, this gopis are saying now about the deer and bucks. Right. Dhanya hasma moodhagatayo api harinya eta moodhagatayo. So all these this deer are considered to be little ignorant. They have taken birth in ignorant animal species. Moodhagatayo. They have moodhagati because they have become animals. Still dhanyaha, they are very blessed, they are very fortunate. Right? Why? Because they are specifically speaking about harinyaha, she deer. Because etaha yah nanda nandanam upata vichitra vesham akarnya venu ranitam saha krishna saraha. So they have the fortune of hearing Krishna playing flute, and their husbands, the she deer's husbands, like male deers, the black deer, so they allow their wives to go and watch Krishna and closely. So the husbands of this deer are allowing them to come closer to Krishna and associate with Krishna, and our husbands are not allowing. That is their complaint. Complaint on their husbands. So akaranya venu ranitam saha krishna saraha. Saha krishna saraha, not just husbands allow. Theke jao, jake dekho. No, they are also coming. Right? The husband and wife both are coming together, getting attracted to Krishna. So that is their point. Pujam dadhur virachitam pranayava lokaihi. Indeed, the doe and buck worship the Lord with looks of love and affection. They have such great love for Krishna. Pujam, they do puja also. So even in the Jharkhand forest or in Vrindavan, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered Vrindavan also this happened. All the deer came towards Krishna, towards Mahaprabhu. Actually, all the cows and all the animals of Vrindavan, they were seeing Krishna only when Mahaprabhu entered. Right? Because Mahaprabhu is non-different from Krishna. They were seeing, oh, our Krishna has come back to Vrindavan. They just ran towards Mahaprabhu. That was another beautiful scene. So husbands of the female deer allow them to go to Krishna, but gopis' husbands do not. Right? Our husbands are actually jealous of Krishna. Gopis are complaining. Right? They have jealousy towards Krishna, that's why they are not allowing us. And they themselves are also not coming. So therefore, what is the use of our lives? The deer are more fortunate than us. So this entire episode is filled with appreciation for others who are having association with Krishna. Appreciation towards other devotees. Second, what is the fortune of a living entity? That is to serve Krishna. That is appreciated here. Why all these living entities are considered very fortunate? Because they are able to serve Krishna, they are able to associate with Krishna. Being with Krishna is the greatest fortune. Right? So all the gopis are appreciating that fortune. Now you see, demigods' wives, right? Krishnam niriksha vanito utsava rupashilam shrutva cha tat kvanita venu vivikta geetam devyo vimana gataya smara nunnasara bhrashyat prasuna kabara mumuhurva nivya.
Krishna's beauty and character create a festival for all women. Indeed, when the demigods' wives flying in airplanes with their husbands catch sight of him and hear his resonant flute song, their hearts are shaken by Cupid, and they become so bewildered that the flowers fall out of their hair and their belts loosen.
Krishnam niriksha vanitotsava rupashilam. By seeing Krishna, it is like vanitotsava. Krishna's beauty is like vanitotsava. Vanita means ladies. Utsava means celebration. It's a celebration for ladies to see Krishna's beauty. Krishnam niriksha vanitotsava rupashilam. His rupa and his character also. Shrutva cha tat kvanita venu vivikta geetam. By hearing the beautiful flute song of Krishna, all the demigods' wives get attracted. See this image. This is the peacocks getting attracted to Krishna. Then the deer and buck, doe and buck, they are getting attracted to Krishna. Next is the demigods' wives. You see here? So they were actually flying in the airplanes along with their husbands. And Krishna is playing flute in Vrindavan. So all these ladies would look down. Oh, Krishna is playing flute. And they get attracted. Right? Shrutvacha tat kvanita venu vivikta geetam. Next, devyo vimana gatayaha smara nunnasara. Vimana gatayaha, they are traveling in vimana and they see down. Then smara, nunnasara, they are getting conjugal feelings towards Krishna. Then, bhrashyat prasuna kabara muhur. What is that? Demigods. Where is this? Brashyat prasuna. Brashyat. Slipping. Prasuna kabaraha. The flowers tied in their hairs. They slipped. Then mumuhu. They become bewildered. Vanivyaha. Their belt loosened. So these are different effects. Right? They become thin. So all these ecstatic symptoms manifested in the demigods' wives also. And although demigods were next to them in the airplanes, they were allowing their wives to get attracted towards Krishna. Right? So demigods are also not envious when their wives are attracted to Krishna. Our husbands are envious. Right? And it's natural to get attracted to Krishna. Right? For deer it is natural to get attracted to Krishna. For peacocks it is natural to get attracted to Krishna. For cows and all the other animals of Vrindavan it is natural to get attracted to Krishna. Not just these earthly living entities, the heavenly entities they are also getting attracted to Krishna. So it is quite natural for a soul to get attracted to Krishna. And if we are attracted to Krishna, what is the big deal? Why our husbands are stopping? Why our parents are stopping? Why our brothers are stopping? That is their complaint, right? And they have one more reason. So demigods are from a different planet. They are seeing Krishna and getting attracted to it. And we are attracting to Krishna, he is our own village boy. We are not getting attracted to someone who is in a different planet only. Right? He is our village man. Our village boy only we are getting attracted to. And demigods are quite sophisticated ladies from upper planets. They got attracted to Krishna. And we are simple ladies from Vrindavan village. Why can't we get attracted to Krishna? So like that, so many arguments they are giving for their attraction towards Krishna. So it's a transcendental sound of Krishna's flute extended to all corners of the universe. Gopis knew about different kinds of airplanes flying in the sky also. Gopis thought they should not be blamed for their ecstatic conjugal attraction for Krishna, who after all was a cowherd boy from their own village. Right? Demigods were actually very refined in culture and intelligence. They regularly take their wives in airplanes along. For what? To see Krishna. The purpose of demigods travel in the airplanes is so that they can see Krishna in Vrindavan. So even the inferior deer and demigoddesses are fortunate, but we pure human beings are in intermediate position. We are not fortunate. So that is their lamentation. 13th verse.
गावस्य कृष्ण मुख निर्गत वेणुगीत पीयूष मुत्तभित कर्ण पुटैः पिबन्त्यः शावास्नुतस्तनपयः कवलास्मतस्थुर् गोविन्दमात्मनिदृशा श्रुकला स्पृशन्त्यः.
Using their upraised ears as vessels, the cows are drinking the nectar of the flute song flowing out of Krishna's mouth. The calves, their mouths full of milk from their mother's moist nipples, stand still as they take Govinda within themselves through their tear-filled eyes and embrace him within their hearts.
Gavascha Krishna mukha nirgata venu gita. So all these gavas means cows. So they were seeing Krishna playing this flute. Krishna Mukha Nirgata Venu Gita. The Venu Gita that is coming out of Krishna's beautiful face, all these cows have heard. Piyusha Mutta Bhita Karna Putaihi Pibantyaha. So it is like Piyusha, it's very nectarian, and they were drinking the nectar through the medium of their ears. Next, Savahas Nuta Stanapayaha Kavalas Mastastur. So now, next is the emotions of all these children of these cows. Right? So that is our calves. Savaha. Shavaha means calves. So calves were drinking the milk from the udders of these cows. Right? But they got attracted to Krishna's flute. And while they are drinking, generally when calves drink milk, they are so much focused. Right? They don't get distracted. You try to distract them also, they don't get distracted. But when Krishna plays flute, they get distracted. And whatever milk they are drinking, that is coming out of their mouth. It is just slipping from their mouths. Right? So, Shava Snutastana Payaha Kavalahasmatastur. So, stood still. Govindam Amani Drisha Ashrukalaha Sprushantyaha. So, they were trying to touch Krishna, right, in their hearts as tears are coming from their eyes. So, that is the effect of Krishna's flute on the cows and calves. That is shown in this beautiful picture also. So, first the cows reacted on hearing the flute. Then all the calves also reacted. Right? Is this nectar? Can it not be tasted? To what can it be compared to? What is the purpose of that nectar? So like that. So gopis were saying, on hearing the flute, we and the cows attained the same state. But there is some difference. The cows at every moment gaze at his moon-like face. But we do not know in which yoga we will gaze upon his face. Krishna took all the cows to the forest, right? Cows always have the opportunity to see Krishna, but gopis were thinking that when will we do? In which lifetime we will do? Right? In which Brahmaji's creation we will do like that? So that is about cow's absorption. Then we will see bird's absorption. Next, prayo batatma vihaga munayo vanesmin. Krishnekshitam taduditam kalaveno geetam. Aruhya yedruma bhujan ruchira pravalan. Srinvanti milita drisho vigatanya vachaha.
O Mother, in this forest all the birds have risen onto the beautiful branches of the trees to see Krishna. With closed eyes they are simply listening in silence to the sweet vibrations of his flute, and they are not attracted by any other sound. Surely these birds are on the same level as great sages.
Gavascha Krishna Mukhanir, sorry, Prayo Bhatatma Vihaga Munayo Vanesmin. So, generally birds are very restless. Right? If you see birds around, where you just put some grains there, bird is trying to eat those whatever few grains of rice. In the time of eating one grain, it will see 10 times Hiranyakasipu. Like this, like this, like this. So it just goes all around, right? It's quite restless. But when Krishna plays flute, all these birds become like sages. Sages means they don't move only. For 10,000 years, 60,000 years, like that. They're absorbed in their tapasya. So by hearing Krishna's flute, all the birds become like sages and they stand still on the trees, tree branches, because they were so enchanted by Krishna's flute. So prayo batatma vihaga manayo vanesmin krishnekshitam tadudhitam kalavenugitam aruhyaye dhruma bhujan puruchira pravalan. So aruhyaye dhruma bhujan. Dhruma bhujan means the branches of trees. Right? Dhruma is tree. Bhujan is its branch. So they are sitting on the branch of the trees and with eyes closed, they listen to Krishna's flute in silence. They are not attracted to any other sound. Right? They cling to the branches to avoid falling off the trees. Right? They just, now the Ashtanga Yogi is there, some sage, he would take some proper asana, okay, not too down, not too elevated, right, so that he can sit firmly and then focus on his meditation. Similarly, all the birds also, they find a nice branch, Dhruma Bhujan, and then sit there and then cling to the branch very nicely so that they don't fall off, and then close their eyes and they get absorbed in Krishna's flute, like that, like sages. So, all the movable living entities become immovable. All the immovable entities become movable, right? So Krishna can churn like that in the hearts of different people. All the restless people become like very stable and fixed at one place. All the fixed people, and they become quite restless. So birds are on the same level as the sages, and Krishna is their guru, right? So birds are resembling the sages because they also live in the forest. They keep their eyes closed, they observe silence, they remain motionless. So these are some commonalities between these birds and the sages. Even great sages become maddened by the sound of Krishna's flute, which is completely spiritual vibration. So ruchira pravalan, even the tree branches are transformed into ecstasy. So it is unparalleled musical brilliance of Krishna is that Indra, Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu and all the gods, demigods, they all get attracted. Right, because no one knows the musical science of playing instruments, especially flute, to the extent Krishna knows. Right, so Chakravarti Pada writes, gopis sometimes address each other as Amba, mother. That's what is given in this verse also. 14th verse, Amba. Next. 15th verse. Nadyastada tadupadharya mukunda geetam. Avarta lakshita mano bhava bhagna vega.
आलिङ्गनस्थगितमूर्मिभुजैर्मुरारेर् गृह्णन्ति पादयुगलं कमलोत्पलाराः.
When the rivers hear the flute song of Krishna, their minds begin to desire him, and thus the flow of their currents is broken and their waters are agitated, moving around in whirlpools. Then with the arms of their waves, the rivers embrace Murari's lotus feet and hold on to them, present offerings of lotus flowers.
Nadyastada tadupadharya mukunda gitam. Upadharya means perceiving. So by seeing the Mukunda Gita, the song of Krishna's flute, what they did was avrita avarta lakshita manobhava bhagna vegah. So avrita means their whirlpools, right? Whirlpools are manifested, avrita lakshita. Then manobhava bhagna vegah. Manobhava means their they also have conjugal desire towards Krishna. Bhagna vegah, their current has been broken, their the way they are moving, flowing, that has become fast, right? That was flowing towards Krishna more. Bhagna vegaha. So, alingana sthagitam urmi bhujair murare. So, they are doing alingan. Alingan means they are embracing Krishna's lotus feet through their waves. And doing what? Grihananti pada yugalam kamalopaharaha. They were making offerings towards Krishna's lotus feet. What are those offerings? Offering lotuses. Right, they were embracing with their arms, they were embracing Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet, means with their waves, they're embracing Krishna's lotus feet, and they were making offerings also of the lotuses. So this is the reverse ecstasy. So there are sacred Yamuna and Mansi Ganga that are enchanted by Krishna's flute. Right? They are also disturbed by conjugal attraction for young Krishna. So here gopis imply, since many different types of living beings are overwhelmed by conjugal love for Krishna, why should we gopis be criticized for having intense conjugal attraction for Krishna? So this is the thing. All the rivers are grasping Krishna's feet. Harivamsa says, it approached Krishna in the distance and with its waves as hands offered lotuses to his lotus feet. So the rivers, waves of ocean, quickly go to meet him, overcoming the rules. We are not so fortunate. So overcoming the rules, when something is just, the river is supposed to stay in boundaries. For example, if the river goes outside the boundary, that is like breaking the rules. A woman is supposed to be within the house, right, under the protection of husband or father or brother. So if she goes out, that is breaking the rules. To express their intense love and affection towards Krishna, it is not wrong to break the rules, break the social customs. That's what they are meaning. Right. So, when there is opposition, that love is intensified. Intense love is manifested by opposing the regular trend. Like that. Next, then summer cloud. This is 16th verse. Drishtvatape vrajapashun saharama gopaihi. Sancharayantam anuvenu mudirayantam prema pravruddha udita kusumavalibhi sakhyur vyadhat svavapusham buddha atapatram.
In the company of Balaram and the cowherd boys, Lord Krishna is continually vibrating his flute as he herds all the animals of Raj, even under the full heat of the summer sun. Seeing this, the cloud in the sky has expanded himself out of love. He is rising high and constructing out of his own body with its multitude of flower-like droplets of water, an umbrella for the sake of his friend.
This is clear? So there is the summer cloud. That is like an umbrella for Krishna and the Gopas. Seeing that Krishna and Gopas were heading the cows in the sunny day when they were kind of tired or whatever, the cloud becomes an umbrella towards them, protecting them from sunshade, from sunlight, And then sometimes it also showers droplets of water also. This is a summer cloud, showering droplets of water for cooling, producing a cooling effect for Krishna. Like that. Autumn clouds appear in sympathy about Krishna and Balaram and Gopas while they engaged in blowing their flutes and served as a soothing umbrella over their heads. So gopis are saying, though the clouds are inanimate and are floating above everyone, because they have prema within, they serve Krishna by their water and shade. We are unfortunate. We surrender to him, accept him as the protection of our lives and give him all respect. But without service to him, our lives are useless. They were saying, we want to do some practical service to Krishna. Having feelings towards Krishna is not sufficient. See that cloud. It has service, it has love for Krishna, but it is also doing some service to Krishna by doing what? By giving shade and by giving some water. Right? So we also want to serve Krishna. Right? We are not getting an opportunity to serve Krishna. That is the lamentation of the gopis. Okay. So cloud is becoming like an umbrella. 17th verse. Purna Pulinja Urugaya Padabjaraga. Shri Kunkumena Daita Astana Manditena Taddarshana Smara Rujas Trinat Rushitena Lampantya Anana Kucheshu Jahustadadhim.
The aborigine women of the Vrindavan area become disturbed by lust when they see the grass marked with reddish kumkum powder. Endowed with the color of Krishna's lotus feet, this powder originally decorated the breasts of his beloveds. And when the aborigine women smear it on their faces and breasts, they feel fully satisfied and give up all their anxiety.
Even the aborigine women, like Pulinda girls, they also get association of Krishna. Right? They can see the lotus footprints of Krishna, right? So, and when they smear it on their faces, they become very fully satisfied and no anxiety. They can see the footprints of Krishna, they take dust from there. Next, 18th verse describes the glory of Govardhan. Hantaya madrirabala haridasa varyo. Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayostayoryad Paniya Suvaya Savakandara Kanda Mulaihi Hantaya Madrirabala Haridasa Varyo. Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayostayoryat Paniya Suyavasavakandara Kanda Mulaihi.
Of all the devotees, this Govardhan hill is the best. Oh, my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan hill appears very jubilant.
So, hanta means, oh, right? They're like expressing wonder. Adri Abala, Abala means all these ladies, gopis. Oh, ladies, oh, my dear friend, gopi friends, this Ayam Adri, this hill called Govardhan is Haridasa Varyu, is the best of all the servants of Hari. Right? Why it is best of servants? Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramoda. Because it is having the Pramoda, the great jubilation or happiness of getting the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparesha Pramoda. Then Manam Tanoti. Right? So offering respect. Saha go ganayos tayoryaha. So not only Krishna and Balaram, saha go ganayaha. So there are cows and calves and gana, cowherd boys. All of them are accompanying Krishna and Balaram. So this Govardhan is respectfully treating all of them very nicely. Saha go ganayos tayoryaha. Then last line is paniya, by offering them drinking water. Suyavasava, suyavasa. Suyavasa means very soft grass for the eating of all the cows. Kandara, caves. So when some rain comes, Krishna and Balaram and all the gopas would go into the caves of Govardhan and then hide there for a while. So he gives caves. Kandamolaihi, all the fruits and roots, that also they give. Govardhan gives. By serving all this to Go Ganayaha, Krishna, Balaram and gopas and cows and calves, this Govardhan has become such a great devotee. Haridasa Varya. So this is appreciated by all the gopis. So this is the opulence of Govardhan. So paniya means fragrant, cool waters for Krishna Balaram to drink, wash their feet and wash their mouths. Then beverages of honey, mango juice, pilu juice. That is also available in Govardhan. Right? Suyavasa. Suyavasa means durva grass. And other grasses are also there, for which are fragrant and soft, conducive to the strong growth of the cows. Right? And Kandara means caves, where gopas would lie down inside and then sit upon. Right? That gives pleasure in heat and cold and rain. So these caves give pleasure both in heat and cold, and in rain also. When rain comes, you go into the cave. When you are feeling very cold, you go into the cave. It gives some warmth. It's like house only. Next, Kandamulaihi. So the touch of Govardhan is pleasurable like the touch of Krishna's lotus feet. The touch, by touching Govardhan, one accomplishes the bliss of touching Krishna's feet. Since he holds a treasure of Krishna's feet, and he constantly performs various pastimes filled with prema at that place. So touching Govardhan is as good as touching Krishna's feet, because Govardhan is filled with the footprints of Krishna. So go gopakair anubhanam nayator udara venu venusvanaihi kalapadaihi tanubhrishu sakya. Aspandanam gatimatam pulakas tarunam niryogya pashakrita lakshanayor vichitram.
My dear friends, as Krishna and Balaram pass through the forest with their cowherd friends, leading their cows, they carry ropes to bind the cows' rear legs at the time of milking. When Lord Krishna plays on his flute, the sweet music causes the moving living entities to become stunned and the non-moving trees to tremble with ecstasy. These things are certainly very wonderful.
So this is about Krishna's, binding the cows and calves with ropes, right, while milking. So they bind the rear legs so that they can do the milking process properly. Venu svanaihi kalapadai stanubhrutsu sakya aspandanam gatimatam polakastarunam. So aspandanam means no movement, lack of movement. Gatimatam. Gatimatam means those who can move. There is some gati there. So polakaihi tarunam. So even non-moving trees also become very polaka, very ecstatic. Even moving entities also become ecstatic. So Krishna's flute has the ability to stun both moving and non-moving entities. Right? Moving entities will stun and non-moving entities will tremble. They can't move, but they tremble by hearing Krishna's flute. These people can move, but they become stunned and then they become achala. So Krishna Balaram sometimes wear cowherding ropes on heads and sometimes carry them on shoulders. Sometimes they put the rope here, sometimes they put on head also. So Chakravarti Pada writes, Krishna Balaram's ropes are made of yellow cloth and have clusters of pearls at both ends. Sometimes they wear these ropes around their turbans and the ropes thus become wonderful decorations. Okay. The last verse of this chapter.
एवं विधा भगवतो या वृंदावनचारिण वर्णयन्तो मिथो गोप्यः क्रीडास्तन् मयतां ययुः.
Thus narrating to one another the playful pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he wandered about in the Vrindavan forest, the gopis became fully absorbed in thoughts of him.
So this is all about glories of the gopis' devotional service. Evam vidha bhagavato ya vrindavanacharinah. So this, in this way, all the gopis are describing the playful pastimes of Krishna and then flute playing of Krishna. Varnayato mitho gopya kidastan mayatam yayuhu. So it's a perfect example of Krishna consciousness, right? To somehow or the other remain always engrossed in the thoughts of Krishna. So we may not be able to ecstatically meditate like the gopis, but one lesson that we can derive from their activities and remembrance is that one should always endeavor to think about Krishna, remember Krishna, right? We do that in Vidyapeeth by remembering the verses, by writing exams. We are just trying to increase our remembrance of Krishna. The vivid example is always present in the behavior of gopis. Therefore, Mahaprabhu declared, what is that? Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayastadhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhur Vargyanaya Kalpita. The best form of worship is that worship done by the gopis. Right? So, gopis are not like Brahmanas or Kshatriyas. They are in Vaishya families. That too, not even big mercantil communities, they are in cowherd communities. Vaishyas are also different categories. They are in cowherd communities. They are very simple ladies, but still, they are not very educated also. Still, they were so absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. That is their glory, not the external qualifications that the other ladies might have. So this is how Sukadeva Goswami concluded this Venu Geetam. So, yeah, this is chapter PPT. All this we have seen. Okay. Thank you all very much. Mithra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions, comments? No, that Pulastya Muni's curse is there, no? Pulastya Muni only, he was carrying Govardhan every day. 5,000 years ago, Govardhan was of perfect size and shape and all these facilities to facilitate Krishna's pastimes. And in the last 5,000 years, it started sinking, 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 and then it is the way now it is, like that. So, that curse also became a blessing on Govardhan. So that when Krishna appears 5,000 years back, it was of the perfect size. If it is so huge, then Krishna may not be able to perform all these pastimes. But it became a perfect size. Now it is becoming smaller and smaller. That's what I know. Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Austerities?
Yeah.
Oh, by performing austerities, no one can become gopis. That's what you are saying? See, some of these things we can't evaluate by our logic, or you can't put some things, impose some things on the words of those who are in conjugal attraction for Krishna. Gopya tapah kimacharan yadamushya rupam. What kind of austerities did these gopis do to have this things, right? To be able to see Krishna like that. That doesn't mean austerity is the qualification of these gopis. Even Aghasura episode also you must have studied. Ittham satam brahma sukhanubhutya Dasyangatanam paradevatena maya shritanam naradarakena sakam vijaguru krita punya punja. What kind of austerities that all these gopis, gopas must have done to be able to play with Krishna? One verse comes, 10.12, I think. Right? So, Krita Punya Punjaha. What kind of pious activities did they do to be able to play with Krishna? Actually, they don't do pious activities. Chakravarti clarifies in the purport that they must have done heaps of activities that are pleasing to Krishna. Because ordinary pious activities cannot give you association of Krishna. Similarly, ordinary material austerities, like what Hiranyakasipu did, or Vishwamitra did, or Ravana did, they may not be able to give one the position of a gopi. But their longing to serve Krishna will make them, you know, associate of Krishna. Like Srutichari gopis, right? There are different types of gopis. When so many sages, when Ram went to Vanavas, there were so many sages. They were thinking, "Hey, Ram, you are so beautiful. We want your association." Then said, "You are in male body. I am in male body. How is it possible? And I am Ekapatini Vrata also. I will fulfill your desire in some other incarnation." Then all the sages in the forest of Dandakaranya or whatever, which forest Lord Ram went. So those sages became gopis, joined Rasalila. And all the personified Vedas are there. They followed in the footsteps of gopis and then they became gopis. So becoming a gopi means following in the footsteps of gopis and then having a longing to serve Krishna, not by material austerities. Lakshmi could not get that opportunity. What to speak of someone who does some austerities and then getting it? That's a very exalted subject matter. Okay. So we are struggling to finish our 16 rounds, right? What to speak of? Okay. Thank you.